There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Let's look at the news headlines today. Authorities in Dubai are beginning to work with real estate developers to confiscate abandoned vehicles, loads them round. Obviously, the dusty car that people have signed their name on and other signatures on there too, no doubt. The Waste Management Department of the municipality has reached an agreement with developers to remove cars from residential areas and also investment areas. They say more than 12,000 abandoned cars have been confiscated in Dubai so far this year. Mohammed Suleiman from the ARN News Centre has been talking with Abdelmajid Sifai, who is the director of the municipality's waste management department. And Mohammed began by asking him to explain more about the announcement.
We do this service for a long time, but we used to do it in the areas that we are responsible. But because the request comes from a lot of developers that they have this problem in their properties, so we thought to make a campaign, explain to him how it works, how is the procedure. And whenever it reaches, we can help them to remove the cars from their plots legally.
All right. Could you tell me more about what happens once a car has been flagged? Does the owner have a chance to claim it before it's confiscated?
Well, once they give us a list of the car that they have a problem with, we have to check first. If it has a number plate, we try to get in touch with the owner. If it has no number plate, we put a sticker, like a warning sticker, and we leave the sticker for almost 2 weeks. There will be an orange warning sticker on the car for at least 2 weeks. If it's not being removed, then we remove it.
All right, so you do give a chance to the owners to claim their car and start it again, right?
Yes.
Could you tell me why this is such a big issue? Why is this something that you guys are really focusing on and something that you're trying to really crack down on?
Mainly, I think, is the image and the look of the property. I mean, if the car has been abandoned, you know, it will be dusty and it doesn't look nice. Second of all, it might stop the process of cleaning of the area, like a parking lot. Third thing, I think, is the security-wise. I mean, it's not safe to leave your car abandoned for a long time in certain areas.
I'm curious to know what happens with a car once it's been taken away. Is it destroyed or what happens to it?
No. The destroying is the last option. Actually, we have a yard which goes the abandoned car's yard, and it stays there for 6 months. And there is an auction will go on. And after 6 months, if it was not requested by the owner, it will be sold in an auction.
I think I know the answer to this next question, but I'll still put it to you. What should car owners do if they have a car they no longer want? We know that they shouldn't just leave it on the street. So what should they do?
The easiest thing is just to sell the car, no? If it's the car is in operation, he can sell it to any used car dealer. And if it's a scrap, he can sell it to the scrap yard, no? Very easy. He can easily get rid of the car, and at least he can make some money out of it instead of just leaving it. Any piece of steel has a price, no?
My last question is, what message would you like to give to motorists in Dubai who are thinking of abandoning their cars? What would you like to tell them?
Well, Dubai is a very beautiful city and we always want to keep it like that. And I think everybody could help us to do that.
That is Mohammed Suleiman talking to Abdelmajid Sifai, who's the director of the municipality's waste management department, talking about how they have reached an agreement with developers to remove cars from residential and investment areas. You may have a neighbour who never washes his car, leaves it parked out on the drive.
I thought one of my neighbours really did have an abandoned car, and it's quite rude, isn't it, to suggest that. But it was really dusty and it had been sat in the same position for ages, like weeks. And I thought, oh, this is one of those abandoned cars. And then they moved it into their drive and I was like, oh, maybe it's not.
maybe it's not.
It just needed a wash. But do you think they did suggest one of the, you know, they don't destroy them, but they get sent off to be auctioned. Do you think people, it might be somewhere for people to get a bargain?
I guess it would be. I don't know what you do about keys in that instance. I'm not sure.
They can make replacement keys, though, can't they?
I suppose in some instances you can, yeah.
I think my friend Rachel has lost both of her car keys before.
But then, what, is Rachel particularly forgetful?
Yeah, she's terrible.
She is, oh,
yeah.
Okay. It's not good with keys.
I don't know why I had to say Rachel as if you knew exactly who I was talking about. You don't know Rachel. I don't know. Didn't need to add that detail, did I?
I'm quite looking forward to meeting Rachel and hopefully putting her on the path to key freedom. I'm not sure. But it's a problem, isn't it? But, you know, with most cars now, you have the most car keys are chipped now, aren't they? So you have to go back to the dealer or hopefully know somebody who has a way of getting a hold of a chip key because it works, you know, with the immobiliser. Is that not how it works?
I don't know.
Apparently that's the case. Yeah, somebody told me that once, and I believed them.
Mikey doesn't go in an ignition. I don't understand.
But you've got a different kind of car. That's a whole different thing. So it works with Bluetooth, does it?
I don't know. I've never really thought about it. I just put it near the car and the car door opens. I always worry about the safety of it, though, because what if someone wanted to get in the car and I was near the car and it just opened? So I still try and use a clicker on it.
Well, good. As my mother used to say, give me strength.
Sorry.
All right, it's Drive Live. We'll look at some of the other stories that are making headlines in a few moments. We're going to be talking financial literacy and also protection of data. It's a topic that comes up more than regularly. The reminders are omnipresent, but that's next.
This is Drive Live
on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Bill Carter's just texted in for me, which is really helpful. He says, I only need to set it to unlock one door, so that's my safety concern out of the way. Thank you very much, Bill.
Yeah, but he's making an assumption there that you could actually set the
Oh, yeah. Bill's met me. He knows I know nothing about this kind of thing. So, I mean, obviously someone else might be able to set it to only unlock one door for me.
So that's just fallen on deaf ears?
No, I'll take the advice and get someone else to help me with it. That's fine.
Oh, I love it.
My long-suffering husband might be able to help me with that one.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to more important news. Mm. We have been talking about financial literacy, and this is an issue, as we've said, comes up over and over again. And this time it's the Emirates Foundation. They've gathered business and government leaders today to discuss personal finance challenges among the UAE youth. Now, the foundation runs a programme called ESRAFSA for residents aged 15 to 35. That's a wide stretch of young people. I like to think that I'm still in that category. I like it. To help young people manage their money better.
When's your birthday? Just remind us.
Well, it's just a week today
a week
to go,
to,
yeah. Seven more sleeps. Mm. Anyway, the CEO of the Emirates Foundation, Claire Woodcraft-Scott, says she has seen participants come into the programme with up to 7 different credit cards. She explains that these kinds of poor personal finance habits can lead to broader social repercussions.
Too many young people leave university or school not understanding how to manage their personal finance, not understanding budgeting, savings, how do credit cards work, what's the difference between an asset and a liability. We know it's a challenge globally, and it's no different here in the UAE. And we know that if young people don't have their skills, they often become overly indebted, and that in and of itself can create a social cost. So it creates stress on family structures, can lead to high levels of divorce and multiple other social issues.
Okay, that's a question, isn't it? How many credit cards, before we move on, have you got?
I don't have any.
You've got none?
None.
Okay. Michelle, do you mind if I ask you how many credit cards
you can ask me? I'm terrified of credit cards, so I have none.
You've got none as well? Okay. That's interesting. Up to 7 credit cards. That really shocks me. I've got 2, by the way, but I use basically 1 for not much.
Before I moved here, I had 2.
Right.
One that I used and one that had some benefit or something that by the time I'd spent all the money and I'd forgotten what it was for. So I had another one that was a bit better on the interest. But I think here it's just slightly different. I moved here and I was sponsored. It was a bit more complicated to open a bank for me. But I think, yeah, in my previous time, I had more than one.
I just find 7, the what Claire was saying there, I thought that was unbelievable. That's the first case. But anyway, let's move on because I want to know some more.
Yeah, well, there's lots of information available for people on financial literacy, and residents that are 15 to 25 years old can sign up for this financial literacy programme that we're talking about from the Emirates Foundation. And that includes different modules for various age groups, so it's tailored to suit the different age groups involved. Woodcraft-Scott says she's seen the programme successfully shift participants' patterns from spending to investing. Here is her foundational principle to ensure strong financial management.
I think the core component of our ESRAFSA program is to teach young people 2 essential things. 1, how to save. 2, how to budget. Know how much money is going out of your account every month and make sure that your monthly expenditures do not exceed your income. Aim to have a surplus at the end of every month. And that surplus can be very small. You can start saving with just 50 dirhams a month. That will cumulatively lead to something and allow you to build an asset base instead of liabilities.
Good advice, I think. That is Claire Woodcraft-Scott. She's the CEO of the Emirates Foundation, and they run a program called ESRAFSA. It's for residents between the ages of 15 to 35, and it's trying to help young people manage their money better, but also to encourage saving and budgeting.
Sounds like it's working.
Hopefully.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.